Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Translated, let us offer obeisance unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the infinitely intelligent super soul who is disguised as greatness to his mystic Yogamaya. So the sages, after recognizing Krishna as the Supreme Lord and appreciating his wonderful quality, they offer their respects to him. We'll see in the Bhagavatam there are many prayers like this in which the devotee offers respects. And of course we have so many prayers like Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, etc. Namaste Sarva Deva. So that word namas is used, or namaha, or namo namo, etc. is used a lot in our literature verses. And of course in Sanskrit it is used an awful lot also. It is often used as a greeting. And so in Hindi, they say namaste. That's a common greeting. Obeisance is to you, whatever that means. But it's like hello in English, but actually it means I offer obeisances to you. So therefore when we offer obeisances, we say a namas prayer, namo Vishnu Padaya, offer obeisances. Or when we're offering obeisances to Krishna, we could say, Namo Brahmani Devaya, Go Brahmani Daya Cha. Namo. So that is what the namaskara, literally, is, that bowing down on the ground. And that has also a particular definition. There is the 5 anga or the 8 anga namaskara. So the 5 anga is where you go on your hands and knees. And the 8 limb is where you fall flat on the floor. Where 8 limbs are on touching the ground. In either case, both of those, we can say, are symbolic of one's surrender, or one's respect to another person, and a show of humility. So that's a physical manifestation of our bhava, our feeling for the Supreme Lord when we offer respects. And this actually is it's an anga of bhakti. It's one of the 64 angas of bhakti, is to offer respects. Just as we can offer prayers, vandanam, or we can hear about the Supreme Lord, or chant his names, or live in the holy dham, or wear tulsi beads. So offering respects is another anga of bhakti, actually. So theoretically, one could just do this anga of bhakti into perfection, offering respects to the Lord. So this is a service of the whole body. And when we use the eyes, we see the deity. That's having darshan, that's one anga of bhakti. And when we chant, that's using the tongue and the voice. And when we hear, that is using the ear. When we archana, we're using all sorts of parts of the body. And when we are doing namaskar, we're offering the whole body again. So we're employing the whole body in the service of the Lord. In this way, we have what is called atmani vedana, which means offering of the Atma. Atma, of course, has several meanings. So Atma means the soul. Atma also means the mind. Atma also means the body. So it can be interpreted as offering the body to the Supreme Lord. And in the sense of namaskara, offering the body to the Lord. But of course, behind offering the body, what is the use of offering the body if we don't offer ourselves, the mind and the self, to the Lord? So included in namaskar is the fact that when you do the 8-limbed bowing down, that's like 2 feet and the 2 arms and the head, etc., and the eyes, and the voice, and the mind. One must also offer the mind to the Lord as a namaskar. So we're using even the mind to give respect to the Supreme Lord. And of course, behind the mind we have the Atma. So the definition of devotional service is, of course, to Sanusilanam, Krishna Anusilanam, with favorableness, Anukulya. And in Sadhana Bhakti, that takes the form of Kriti Sadhya, or engaging the senses. That means eye, hand, body, etc. And the mind. We engage those senses for the Supreme Lord. If one has Prem Bhakti, then one doesn't have to do that anymore, because one has spiritual body and one engages the spiritual body in the Lord. One doesn't have to use the material elements and material limbs anymore. One could be in a trance state and do one's service. But in sadhana bhakti, we don't have that developed spiritual body, so therefore we engage the material body in the service of the Lord. So, not only the body, but the body and the senses and the mind. We engage all of these. So if one does namaskar properly, then one will engage all aspects, that is the senses such as the eyes and the whole body plus the mind. And will offer respects to the Supreme Lord. So this namaskar, in other words, is a an engagement to practice surrender to the Supreme Lord. And as I said, the namaskar involves not only the body, but the voice as well, and the eyes, and the mind. So voice is, the voice part of it is to offer a prayer like this, the namaskar prayer, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, etc. That's the way how you engage the voice. So we're actually in namaskar, we're using a lot of other things as well. So anyway, this is part of Anga of Bhakti actually, and as I said in the Bhagavatam, we'll find many prayers like this, Kunti's prayers, etc., famous, in which the word nama is used by devotees to praise the Supreme Lord. So this is an expression of one's surrender to the Supreme Lord. So, in this particular prayer we have Namaswasmai Bhagavate. So the sages are addressing Krishna as Bhagavan. And Bhagavan means the possessor of six qualities. Everybody know the six qualities? Yeah. And so, Aishwarya and Virya and Yasa, Shri, Jnana, and Vairagya. So the Lord Bhagavan has these qualities in full. Of course, there's another, I could say, probably a more apt definition of Bhagavan for Krishna. Because if we look at that definition of Bhagavan, the six qualities, that could also apply to Paramatma. One who has got knowledge and power and pervasion, etc. But we know Krishna is more than that. So Jiva Goswami has defined Bhagavan as Va, Ga, and Va, in three syllables. So Va for Bharta, which comes from the root Bro, to maintain or to carry. So in other words, the Lord nourishes and supports His devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhakta Pranasyati, I never fail my devotee, I always protect my devotee. So the Lord maintains His devotees. So this is a an act of love of the Supreme Lord. Out of affection, He will care for the devotees. And because He makes that promise, He always fulfills it. For instance, even with half devotees, like Gajendra. Gajendra is an example of a mixed devotee. He had some devotion to the Lord from his previous life, but he was an elephant in his lifetime. And then he was happily enjoying with other elephants in the water. And then he got attacked by a crocodile. And then he struggled with the crocodile for 1,000 years in the water. And after he got real tired, he felt that he was getting defeated and he would die. So then suddenly he remembered some prayers to the Supreme Lord. And he was offered those prayers to the Supreme Lord in order to save himself. So this is an example of karma misra bhakti. Someone who was suffering, and to get rid of their suffering, they surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Artha, in other words, artha jagasa artha iti jnani cha. So he was suffering. Therefore, he offered prayers and gained enormous prayers. He offered his prayers, all obeisances to the Supreme Lord at that. Anyway, Vishnu was there enjoying very nicely with Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. And suddenly he heard this prayer of Gajendra's, a prayer for help. Please save me. I'm getting, killed by the crocodile. And he was offering his prayers. And he called out Narayana. So Narayana immediately dropped everything and forgot about Lakshmi and called for Garuda, jumped on Garuda, and then flew down very, very quickly to save Gajendra. Huh? Because he heard that call from his devotee. So he felt that I have to do something for this devotee. Even though I have to leave Vaikuntha and Lakshmi and everyone else, I will serve this devotee. So this way the Lord protects his devotees and is very enthusiastic to do so because of his great affection. So that is Bharta. He maintains and nourishes and protects his devotees. And of course, ultimately, what does he do? Of course, protecting them in the material world is one thing. In the spiritual world, they don't need protection because there is no demons. But how does he nourish and maintain the devotees there? He nourishes their prema. And he increases their love at all points in time. And so they have pastimes in order that their love increases and is satisfied by Krishna's actions. So that's what Bhagavan does in the spiritual world. He nourishes the prema of the devotees by his great affection. So that is Bha. And Ga means Gamayata, which comes from the word gam, means to go, or gachati, etc. Gamayata means to cause to go. The Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, causes his devotees to go to Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, or Goloka. He leads his devotees to the spiritual world. And, not only that, he also endows them with prema. So that is God. And he endows them with all good qualities, spiritual qualities. So in other words, he manifests in the devotees all wonderful things. That is God. And Va, or Bhagavan, Va stands for Vas. And Vas means to live. Vasati, he dwells. Or Vasudeva can mean he dwells everywhere. Vas, so the Vas is he dwells, or one dwells. So that means that the Lord dwells in the devotee, and the devotee dwells in the Lord. It sounds something like Paramatma, but we're speaking about Bhagavan, that is done in a different way. Paramatma pervades everything in the material world to witness all the activities of the jivas, all their karmas, etc., and maintain the material world. But Bhagavan does not do that. Bhagavan is in the spiritual world. But how is he in the devotee? He's in the devotee because the devotees are always thinking of Krishna. So he is in their hearts because they're so attached to Krishna that they're always thinking of him. And the devotee is in the heart of the Supreme Lord because the Supreme Lord is completely attached to the devotees and he's always thinking of them. So the devotees dwell within the Lord, and the Lord dwells in the devotee because of their great affection for each other. So that is Va. So in that way, Jiva Goswami exchanges the word Bhagavan. So in this way, we get a very intimate definition. That definition which describes the intimate nature of the Supreme Lord with his devotees, which is very suitable for Bhagavan as opposed to Paramatma and Brahman. So here the sages offer their respects and their surrender to Bhagavan. And of course, Bhagavan can mean any form of Bhagavan, that is Vishnu form or Narasimha or Varaha, etc. They're all Bhagavan because they all have relationships with devotees and prema. But here the sages are particularly indicating Krishna. To that Bhagavan. That's my Bhagavan. A particular Bhagavan. The Bhagavan that they are seeing in front of them. Who is also Swayam Bhagavan. So all of the forms of Bhagavan have a relationship with their devotees in prema, and respond to them and protect them and nourish them and dwell in them, etc. What is the difference with Krishna? He is Swayam Bhagavan. And what does that mean? He manifests completely these aspects. So more than the Vishnu forms, Krishna is attached to his devotees. How is that possible? Because all forms should be attached to the devotees. And so, but we'll see that the particular way Krishna does it is more extraordinary. With the other forms, because of their particular forms, they are somewhat limited in how they can respond to their devotees. But because of Krishna's particular form, he can do it differently. So, what's Krishna's form? Krishna is a small boy. And even a baby. So, in that particular form, he can respond to them more perfectly. So, for instance, Krishna can respond to Mother Yasoda in a way that Vishnu cannot. So in other words, Krishna is the son of Mother Yasoda. And if Mother Yasoda gives him an order, he will follow the order. But with the Vishnu forms, the devotee will never dare to give Vishnu an order. But Krishna can respond to Mother Yasoda. And he has no problem in doing so. In fact, he willingly does that. He's willing obedience to Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj. Sometimes we see the descriptions and pictures of Krishna, and he is carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. And he's trying to do that. At least he's trying to struggle to put the shoes on his head. He's very small, and he's trying to serve and please Nanda Maharaj by carrying his shoes on his head. So, in other words, Krishna will take any position for his devotees. And that's not possible with the other forms of God. They cannot act in the same way, express their love in the same way. So because of this very intimate and complete expression of love, Krishna is called Swayam Bhagavan. In this way, the sages offer the respect to Bhagavan. And here he is also called Akunta, Medase. Medas means intelligence. Now, Kunta means not restricted in any way. So in other words, it means one who has full knowledge, or omniscience, or jnana, as in the other definition of Bhagavan. The six qualities, one of the six qualities is jnana. So the Lord has all knowledge of everything, complete knowledge. So that equally applies to Krishna, even though he has a form which is human-like, and looks very human, and even acts like a human, still, the sages understand he has all knowledge. And even if he is a little boy in Vrindavan, and he looks ignorant, still, he has all knowledge. It's difficult to see that, but he has all knowledge. And that's why Brahma, who was the creator of the universe and knew that Krishna was God, even he became a little bewildered when he saw Krishna in Vrindavan. How can this person be God? How can he have all power and all knowledge when he's simply a cowherd boy running around with other cowherd boys and playing jokes and things like this? How can this be God? So, yeah, he is. He has all knowledge. And then Krishna illustrated that. Yes, I know exactly what you're thinking, and I have a plan by which I will illustrate to you that actually you are much less than anything, and I'll show you that even the Vishnu forms that you know as God are inferior to me. So Krishna ahead of time knew exactly everything about Brahma, and then he also had a plan by which he could make Brahma understand his nature and appreciate Krishna. Krishna has complete intelligence and knowledge of everything. He is also covered, his greatness is covered by his Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya Ashana Mayane. His power or his greatness are covered by Yoga Maya. So this is a particular aspect of Krishna. To some extent, of course, the other forms can also hide their nature at certain times. Narasimha can hide in the pillar and then come out. So he can hide himself or whatever. Lord Chaitanya hides himself as just a little boy, and then when he grows up, then he reveals his nature. So sometimes the other forms of the Lord do that also. But Krishna is particularly fond of hiding his glory because that is his nature. His nature is to be a cowherd boy. And so naturally, the aspects of glory are somewhat hidden. Those people that want to see the glories in Krishna, they are revealed. So those people in Mathura and Dwarka, they not only want to see that form of Krishna, who was a small boy, but they also want to see his powers. So that's why they live in Mathura and Dwarka, not in Vrindavan. They want to see the powers of God also. So in those places, Krishna uncovers his powers to some degree. They're more manifest there. And they understand he is God. And so he reveals his powers. He kills many demons, etc. Sometimes he manifests four arms as Vishnu. So the name Krishna is Supreme Lord. And other times he may hide that fact. So for instance, when Krishna is with his friends, like Arjuna, then sometimes he hides the fact that he is Supreme Lord, and then Arjuna thinks, oh, he's just my friend, and he calls out to him and jokes with him in different ways, and sometimes insults him, etc. And then on the other hand, he uncovers his powers when he reveals the universal form. And then Arjuna immediately says, I apologize, because actually you're Supreme Lord, and I was treating you as a friend. This is a revelation of Krishna's powers. So in Mathura and Dwarka, the powers become more obvious and Krishna reveals them more. And the people there accept that also. Even there, of course, to some degree, Krishna can use his yoga maya on different occasions to hide his aspects of the Supreme Lord also. So he will do that as well with the queens of Dwarka. They are intimately involved with him, and they can understand that he has 16,108 forms in each palace. So he hides that from everybody. He doesn't reveal that to everybody. So he hides his powers there by his yoga maya potency. And nobody understands that he has 16,108 forms when he goes to each palace. And the only person that understood was Narada Muni. And what did Narada Muni do? He went from one palace to the other real quickly, at the speed of the mind, one after the other, and he observed Krishna was everywhere. But theoretically, all the Nityasiddhas should be able to do something like that, because they're pure devotees. But by the potency of the Lord, they didn't. They simply stayed in each palace. So they didn't have that realization. So this is the way in which Krishna uses yoga maya to hide certain of his powers. So, of course, in Vrindavan, Krishna hides even more, and he doesn't reveal his powers so much. But he may do so on particular occasions, so for a particular purpose. So, in order to educate Brahma, he reveals his powers in Vrindavan, and how he is the source of all the Vishnu forms, who are sources of universes. And therefore we'll have Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Mahavishnu, etc. And they are all amsas of Krishna. So that's what Krishna revealed to Brahma. In other words, he revealed that his greatness is greater than the greatness of Vishnu, all the Vishnu forms together. So there was a revelation. And at the same time, Yoga Maya covered it up, and all he saw there was little boy Krishna. So the definition of Yoga Maya is that it reveals or hides aspects of the Lord from the devotee. So Brahma's the devotee, and at one time you can see that Krishna's expansion of all the Vishnu forms, etc. Another one, he sees only small boy Krishna. Suddenly he gets covered over, and all he sees is Krishna. So in this way, Krishna at his will can hide or reveal things to his devotees according to pastime and purpose. So that was for Lord Brahma, he did that. And of course for Indra again, he did the same thing when he held up Govardhan Hill and he defeated Indra. And then Indra understood, oh, Krishna actually is Supreme Lord. And then he came with Surabhi Kaur and offered his respects to Krishna, understood that he's just a devata and he's not so powerful after all. So Indra understood that Krishna is Supreme Lord. So again, Krishna carried it as a pastime. And in that pastime, remarkably, everybody saw that pastime. With the Govardhan Leela, or with the stealing the cowherd boys, other people didn't notice that Krishna was all the cowherd boys and all. They couldn't figure that out. They didn't see that. But when Krishna was listening at Govardhan Hill, everybody saw that. All the cowherd people saw that. And the gopis saw that. Nanda saw that. Yasoda saw that. Everyone saw. Cowherd boys saw holding up Govardhan Hill, which was very remarkable. And no human being can do that. And Krishna was only a little boy. So suddenly Krishna revealed his glory even to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So why would Krishna do that? He's trying to hide himself. Actually, Krishna likes to illustrate and teach everyone the greatness of the love of the Brajavasis. So the greatness of the love of Brajavasis is such that even if they see the greatness of Krishna, they don't see it. They don't see it after all. They saw Krishna lift the hill. Nevertheless, afterwards, when they talked about it, they thought he didn't lift the hill. So when Mother Yasoda, there's an example in the, I think, next year devotion there later on, and Mother Yasoda is talking to someone else, and then she says, well, you know, Krishna lifted the hill, but actually it was not Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was helping him, and Balaram was helping him also. So he didn't do it himself, actually. Because small boy, he's too small. He can't do that. He doesn't have the power to do that. And in other instances, when Krishna kills demons, like Putana, and they all see that, or Trinavarta, and Krishna says, then they simply say that Gargamuni has told us that Krishna is protected by Vishnu, and Vishnu kind of dwells in Krishna and protects him at all times. So actually, Vishnu was protected and killed the demon, not Krishna. So they always have some excuse to say that Krishna actually didn't do it. He's not that powerful after all. And even if it directly is shown, in the case of Krishna, he went down to rescue Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was kidnapped by the Varuna's servants. And then Krishna dove into the water. And then he found Nanda Maharaj there. And then when Krishna came, Varuna and all the devatas and all the servants of Varuna began offering respects to Krishna and praising him. And then Nanda Maharaj was sitting there, he's watching that. He saw all the devatas praising Krishna, Supreme Lord. So then, after Varuna was satisfied, he let Krishna go with Nanda. Nanda Maharaj and Krishna went back. And then Nanda Maharaj told this all to the cowherd men. I think Krishna is the Supreme Lord because all the devatas are offering their respects to him. And I saw this with my own eyes. He must be the Supreme Lord. And everyone discussed like that. But then after, of course, then they asked if he's Supreme Lord, then he can grant any benediction to us. So then they were discussing what benediction we should get from Krishna. should we go to Brahman? Should we get money? Should we go to Svargaloka? And they said, we'll ask him to take us to see Vaikuntha, spiritual world. And that's what they actually asked Krishna. You show us that spiritual world. So he showed them the spiritual world, actually. But what he showed them was, he showed them Brahman, and then from the Brahman he showed them spiritual world. And there they saw Krishna. But Krishna was being worshipped by the Vedas. So it was a form of Krishna who had Aishwarya mixed with it, with his form. And they saw that they were rather happy because it was Krishna, they recognized Krishna. And then suddenly, he showed them Vrindavan again, they came back to Vrindavan. And they realized, we're happier here than we are looking at this form of Krishna in the spiritual world, who's worshipped with awe and reverence. And so from that they understood that actually we're happier than they are in the spiritual world. So anyway, then they began discussing, and then they said, well, is Krishna really God after all? Now, none of our Maharaj has seen all of this, but it cannot be possible. Because actually Krishna is our son. And the Supreme Lord is not the son of anybody. But Krishna is our son, and you know, we take care of him, and he drinks Mother Yasoda's milk, and whatever like that. So it's impossible that Krishna can actually be Supreme Lord. So then they just reject the whole incident. Asanana Maharaj. So out of their great attachment to Krishna in a particular relationship, then whatever Krishna shows, I'm Supreme Lord, whatever, they reject. So this is, we can say, a test of Krishna. To illustrate the greatness of their love. Their love is so strong that even if Krishna says, I'm Supreme Lord, and shows it, still, they find means of rejecting that because of their great attachment to Krishna. So in other words, the strength of their prema overcomes whatever they see in terms of Krishna's greatness. So that is the greatness of the love of the Vrajavasi. He said that love is so strong that any show of greatness actually is automatically covered up, not by yoga mind, not by Krishna, but by their prema. So even if Krishna, with his yoga mind, removes the covering and shows greatness, the prema, their prema, covers it up again. Because that's not satisfying to them. They feel great bliss in seeing Krishna as their child. So the greatness of prema actually eclipses all Krishna's show of greatness in Vrindavan. So that's how they maintain that intimacy with Krishna. That's how the yoga maya potency operates. So the sages offer their respects here to Bhagavan, and they also offer their respects to Krishna as Paramatma. So Paramatma and Bhagavan are actually non-different. They're actually, in other words, the Vishnu forms of Purusha avatars are non-different from Supreme Lord. And what is why they call differently, why we say Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman. Because the manifestations of qualities is somewhat less in Paramatma forms than in Bhagavan forms. Paramatma has a certain function in relation to the material world. Bhagavan has simply path paths in the spiritual world. So that is the difference. So Paramatma is related to material world creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. And so therefore those qualities are manifested only. And we won't find the detailed pastimes as we see in Vaikuntha or Goloka. But Bhagavan, whatever is in Paramatma, is in Bhagavan. Bhagavan includes Paramatma, plus more. So if they address them as Paramatma, they're just showing that whatever is in Paramatma is actually part of Bhagavan.
How does Yogamaya operate on the roads of Vrindavan by not allowing them to see that he's God? But does it also operate on people who have Brahman and Paramatma realization by not allowing them to see that he's Bhagavan?
I think that's only according to, we could say, qualification, but ultimately, of course, mercy is there in terms of how does the Lord reveal himself to the devotee. In Bhava and Prema, actually, it's mercy, by the Lord, mercy only, and his attraction to the devotees. He reveals himself. So, whereas the Gyanis and the Yogis, he's not attracted to them to the same degree, and therefore he does not reveal those aspects. So, it's not so much the Yogamaya as the simply that the Lord isn't so merciful to them because he's not attracted to Gyan and Yoga and other processes as he's attracted to Bhakti. Usually the word Yogamaya is related to the devotees and how he hides certain aspects from the devotees or reveals certain aspects according to Leela. That's the normal context. But sometimes it may be used in place of even Mahamaya sometimes, in, like in the Bhagavad Gita.
With the souls of the tank Brahman realization, do they have the sense of sat, or do they have knowledge also of chi?
Well, actually, in all realization, there's a little bit of everything, but it's by predominance, just like the gunas. Sattva gun means sattva by predominance, but there's a little tamaguna, rajaguna there also. So when we have Brahman realization, which is prominent by sat, there is some chitta samananda, but you know, very minimal. So therefore, we say Brahmananda, the bliss of Brahman. So you get some experience of that, but it is very little. And the prominent feeling in Brahman is eternity and existence. One exists as spiritual entity. eternally. That's the prominent feeling there. And the idea of knowledge of something is not going to exist because there's no duality there. But we cannot say shit doesn't exist. There is awareness, obviously, but awareness of things is not there because there's no subject-object, so non-duality.
In the previous class you mentioned how there's airplanes traveling through the brown torches through Vaikuntha. Is that correct? There's airplanes travel in Vaikuntha through the brown torches from planet to planet. Is that correct?
I didn't say that. But of course, anything can happen in Vaikuntha. They don't even need airplanes, technically.
One thing
people include Radharani,
your efficient relationship.
What about?
With Radharani.
Yeah. Srimati Radharani. Yeah.
Srimati
Radharani.
Yes.
Oh.
Radha,
Yoga
Maya, and
how they relate?
Yes.
Yoga Maya.
And Lord Krishna.
Well, of course, Radha is the personification of the Kundalini Shakti. And therefore, Krishna and Radha have pastimes on the highest level because Hladini Shakti is the essence of Krishna also. He is Satchidananda, but the Ananda aspect is predominating, and that is expressed through his pastimes with Radha, Hladini Shakti. So, in their relationship, how do the pastimes take place? Of course, we have many other Shaktis operating, like the Leela Shakti. The pastime Shakti that creates pastimes. And in the course of pastime, then the Yoga Maya Shakti will operate. Because in order to have pastimes, there has to be something hidden. And then, as a result, finally, at the conclusion, things are revealed. So in order for a pastime to take place, we have to have time, day and night, etc., and whatever, and separation, etc. If there's no Yoga Maya operating at all, then the idea, if everybody has all knowledge, then there couldn't be any real separation, because everyone would think Krishna is everywhere. But everyone understands Krishna is there and I'm here. So Radha is separated from Krishna, and she feels great separation, intense separation. So we could say that's an aspect of Yoga Maya operating there. So Yoga Maya operates along with other Shaktis to support Krishna and his relationship with Radha or with any other devotee.
Maharaj, somebody asked me if Krishna is a supreme enjoyer and he doesn't enjoy all these Shaktis and energy. How does he enjoy his inferior energy and material energy? How does he gain pleasure from it?
Oh, well, actually, Krishna is one of the qualities of the Bhagavan is Vairagya. Detachment. So in relation to inferior energy, in one sense we can say there is a relationship of enjoyment, but actually he's completely untouched and detached from the Achit-Shakti. So it's described how in like the Brahma Samhita that Vishnu glances over Prakriti, and that's considered a pastime, which is in one sense some sort of lila, you know, enjoyment. But it's not the same as his enjoyment with Rama or Lakshmi. That's completely different. Yeah? So what is the lila or the enjoyment that he gets from glancing over Prakriti? The lila is the Srishti lila, the creation of the material world. That's the enjoyment. How does the Lord enjoy that? Not directly, because in the pastimes of creation we have jivas and then they have suffer in the material world and they have karma. So that's not enjoyment for the Lord either. So the final enjoyment of the Lord is when he comes into the material world and enjoys his pastimes there, and also he gets attracts jivas and they become devotees and then they go into the spiritual world and enjoy with Krishna. that's the only enjoyment part for Krishna, is that he has pastimes in the material world and then he attracts devotees, makes devotees, and they go to the spiritual world and enjoy with Krishna.
Maharaj,
Krishna
is we come to know from the scriptures that Brahmaji forgot that this Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Indra also tested the Krishna.
Yeah.
And we also see from one of the pastimes with Yashoda Mata that she saw the whole Brahman in Krishna's mouth.
Yeah.
And even in that Brahman she saw herself and Krishna also in the mouth.
Yeah.
So she was completely bewildered. So I was just thinking that this is the same case with all of us. We every second moment we forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Like Krishna is the Lord.
Well, our is due to ignorance, avidya, and maya.
Yes.
For the great devotees, the nitya-siddha devotees, or sadhana-siddha devotees, what is appears to be ignorance actually isn't ignorance. It's either caused by the yoga maya potency or the other shaktis of the Lord, and it's part of prema. Yeah? So even Brahma's bewilderment, that actually wasn't real bewilderment, because at the beginning of Brahma's lifetime, the Lord said, in this lifetime you will not be bewildered. So therefore, when Krishna is bewildered by the Krishna, it is actually yoga maya working, not mahamaya. For the pastimes of the Lord, he bewilders Brahma. So it's not the regular bewilderment of material ignorance. In other words, it's not a fall down on Brahma's part. In other words, Krishna and his lila can fool people. Play jokes on people.
Well, can I ask you something other than this class? Question about how you even compare with Srila Prabhupada. You want to tell us?
Well, I met him in Japan.
Japan?
He was on his way to India, so I met him then. I met the devotees, and then the devotees took him to see Prabhupada.
Was it Sankirtan movement, or you want to tell us?
Huh?
Did you see somebody Sankirtan in Japan, or how did you come to?
Well, there were some devotees there in Japan, and then Prabhupada came there on his way to India and stayed with the devotees. So that's how I met. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.